How can a microchip manufacturer keep track of 250 million control points at once?
How can technology behind animated movies help enterprises reimagine their future?
Built for Change listeners know those answers and more. I'm Elise Hu.
And I'm Josh Klein. We're the hosts of Built for Change, a podcast from Accenture.
We talk to leaders of the world's biggest companies to hear how they've reinvented their business to create industry-shifting impact.
And how you can too.
New episodes are coming soon, so check out Built for Change wherever you get your podcasts.
From the New York Times, I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. This is The Daily. In Parkland, Florida, a trial is underway to determine the fate of the gunman who killed 17 people at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018. The trial is expected to last for months, and as it goes on, people in Parkland are reliving the pain of a day they've spent years trying to put behind them. Today, we go back to a conversation that my colleague Jack Healy had right after the shooting with some of the students who survived it, and we learn what's happened in the time since. It's Wednesday, August 31st.
So I flew down to Parkland, Florida, and spent a week trying to get to know some of the kids who you didn't necessarily see at the vanguard of the movement that sprung up in the wake of the shooting. One day outside of the school, I met Brooke Harrison and her parents, Denise and Robert. We talked for a little while, and a couple nights later, I met up with Brooke and several of her friends.
Will you guys tell me about how you know each other?
I know her from elementary. I went to private school.
The girls all sunk into a sofa together to talk as their parents sat outside on the patio and chatted with each other.
I've known Annabelle since 7th grade. I've only recently met Maddie.
We've known each other since 5th grade.
I've known you since middle school.
Yeah. So they were
so Victoria. Alvarez.
And what's yours?
Eden.
Eden.
Madison. Zeltwanger.
Madison. Latter.
Two girls named Madison. Maddie and Madison. They called each other.
Annabelle Worthington.
Annabelle.
Brooke Harrison.
Okay. And Brooke.
I know you.
Okay, and then 14.
Well, I play soccer.
Okay.
We talked about the activities that they pursued.
I hang out with my friends a lot. And
and a little bit about, you know, what they love to do as kids.
English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was
English.
It like
English
just
one
English
one
honors.
English one honors.
So they were telling me about school and English class and writing an essay.
About education and rights.
Education for like women.
Practicing
like,
for our FSA.
Just so
yeah.
many.
We
All
were,
of them were argumentative though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And our desks normally aren't in rows,
yeah.
or in groups. They're normally in rows.
Like,
oh,
she just like, wants to be nice.
Which honestly I think was a blessing because
right.
it was a lot easier to run.
Can we just know where my desk is? What usually
I know.
Is right there.
I know. No, but my desk was right in front of the door. That's why I saw the gun. Because
mm-hmm.
when I looked up.
I saw him walking by.
You did?
I
didn't
saw
see.
Him like a shadow.
I
saw his feet
like,
or like something.
He
was
know.
Wearing a hoodie. That's why.
And I heard he was wearing, they have an outfit.
And then they started telling me about the shooting.
Well, I was writing my essay, and then we heard the gunshots. It was like, it was one after another. It was like,
yeah.
And so in my head, I thought like, oh, like firecrackers, you know.
Nice.
But, had anyone ever set off firecrackers in the school before?
No.
Yeah.
But I just figured, I was like, okay, like firecrackers. And then I remember the glass door breaking. And for some reason, I ended up, like I don't remember this part, it's kind of like blurry, but I remember being on the floor.
I want to say I heard like a crack of like a shell and I was like, oh.
I remember like opening my eyes, I was on the other side of the door. I was holding the teddy bear I had gotten. And then I guess that's when it like came in and I realized what was happening.
Their entire classroom explodes with gunfire.
And I remember putting my hands over my head like a tornado drill just because I didn't want any like like glass or anything hitting me, because you can feel like the stuff like falling onto you.
You could smell it in the air.
Okay.
The only, I cannot describe the smell. It wasn't like a fire. It wasn't like anything.
No, it was gunpowder.
Gunpowder
has
when
a
you,
smell.
When you smelt it, you knew that's a gun. That's a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
I can't even explain it.
It was hard to breathe.
It was like
definitely.
Yeah.
It was like a big cloud.
And
if you saw
like
my
cloudy.
Bag now that we got the bags.
Yeah.
My bag was a black Tory Burch purse. There's white.
All over.
I just
like,
got a new
purse. It's like dust. Yeah. You can tell that it's gunpowder.
Does anyone have a bullet hole in their backpack? Because I do.
Really?
I have a bullet hole in my backpack.
You do? Can I see it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
But there's no like bullet in there, right?
No.
Like bullet casing or anything.
It was really fast.
If there was.
Look.
That's terrible.
One of the things that these girls have done to try to understand what happened to them on a grand scale is to try to understand moment by moment what happened to them on a micro scale.
So this is the diagram.
Okay.
If you can see, this is the door.
Mm-hmm.
This is the wall that connects to the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
This is the wall.
And so
the, other
the night that we chatted, they all drew a diagram of their classroom where each cluster of desks was, which student was sitting at which desk, and where the students fled once the bullets started flying.
This is
that's
the
where
TA,
I went.
The
okay.
TA table. And there's
so
windows right here.
Okay. Is
so
there a
bad.
TA?
They drew images of where certain students were when they died, and they drew images of where they believed the bullets were coming in from. It was just like a map of the day that their childhood ended.
Okay, so basically, this is where I was sitting. I was facing the door. Alyssa was facing me. And then
the shooter was firing through the window of the classroom door, which the student said was locked.
Miss Harsh, I guess, had like some kind of cardboard. So I like kind of like took that and like put it over my face.
To try to
like I don't know if it did anything, but I thought that
just
like
shoot.
I just thought that if he saw my eyes, he would shoot me.
Yeah.
Because I was right across from the door, right?
Mm-hmm,
so I'm like,
yeah.
I have to cover myself.
I feel like my whole world was spinning and everything was going in slow motion so that the shots were just like boom, boom.
You know when you
but they were
it's
so
like
loud.
When you're watching a movie and you see it happening, but you're not there. That's
it's
exactly
like an
what
out of body
like.
Experience.
That's exactly
yeah.
what
I was like
that's
screaming.
When I've thought about this, about being in a school shooting, and the one thing that I've always said that I would do is text my mom, I love you. And, like, I'm, like, thank you for everything. And I was so, like, mad at everything that I wasn't going to be able to get to do that, and I was going to die and not let my mom know that I loved her.
And then she shoots through our door, and there's glass, like, all over, like, in front of me. And then I just hear, like, a few shots happen over here. And then I see Alyssa, and she's just, like, standing like this. And then she, like, falls back. And then it, like, goes silent. And I'm, like, screaming. And I'm, like, screaming her name.
Yeah.
And then she, like, didn't answer.
When the SWAT team went into
the
room next door, they were yelling like, oh, like injured, like blah, 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 and like get out. They were yelling at the class in the store. And I remember holding my teddy bear, screaming, like, please come get us, please come get us, please come get us, please come get us.
I remember praying.
And it took hours, I felt like hours for them to go from that classroom to ours.
Yeah.
I
remember.
The SWAT officers stormed into the school. They yelled into the classroom and asked whether there was any danger inside of the classroom, anyone with a gun. The student said no, there wasn't, and then they fled.
I remember Xavier telling me, put your hands over your head.
Yeah, I just remembered just from like seeing like all these mass shootings and people running out with their hands up.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be the person who they thought was but I just put my hands up.
I didn't
and I ran. That's when I ran.
They fled through a hallway that they described as being lined with SWAT officers, and they burst out into the daylight and ran through a parking lot and to the edge of the school grounds.
And so that's what I just remember, like, running for my life.
Yes.
And you can see the dogs turn.
Yeah. I remember seeing the dogs barking, and then that's when it kicked in, and I was like, let me get out of here, and I ran.
Yeah,
I ran from school to Parkland Golf.
That's so far.
It's
so far.
That is far, yeah.
It's really far. I was in jeans, Vans.
I was in a sweater. They took
and
them.
I remember.
I looked good for that day because it was Valentine's.
I looked so good.
And they took
myself
in
evidence.
I looked so good.
They literally took like my favorite outfit for evidence because there was blood on it.
I didn't give them my stuff.
I went home. I washed my teddy bear. They asked me, "You got blood on anything?" I said, "No."
I know.
I didn't give my teddy bear.
But then my parents was like, "Yeah, like it's in the wash. Like, let me see if there's blood."
Mm-hmm.
So I was like,
"The teddy bear was the only thing I got out of that class with. It was the only thing I was gonna keep." Mm-mm.
In the 2 weeks since the shooting, they have been spending a lot of time with each other, going to sleepovers, going to memorials.
We were going to another viewing after we had two funerals that morning,
yeah.
And then a viewing for Luke.
Mm.
And then we were going to Gina's viewing, what we thought was Gina's viewing. But instead we walked in, my best friend and I, we walked in with our moms, and it was kind of weird because we were all wearing the pins with the ribbons,
yeah.
And they asked what the ribbons are for. And we were like, okay, this one's for Jamie and this one's for Gina and this one's for Stoneman Douglas in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, that's cool. And then, so we walked into the funeral home and they handed us this card, and we were expecting to see like Gina's face on it, but it was this guy named Ron, Ronald, and this old guy here, you can see the picture. And we're like, okay, that's not
Gina. Went to the wrong funeral.
Yeah. And so we figured out that it was like the wrong day.
These girls are pretty resilient, and they've actually been able to find some light moments in all of this.
So now you get to celebrate Ronald.
Yeah. We were like, thanks, Ron, for making
Wait,
us
did
laugh.
You see him?
So when we talked, these girls were incredibly composed and even laughed at times, but then they are still just like tumbled back into that day.
That's all they're saying to me too. They're like, it's fine. It's going to be fine.
Everything
is
feeling
all
is
about
perfectly
it.
Normal.
Like,
I feel broken. Like, I feel defeated.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's not, right now in my mind, it's not going to be fine.
Like,
I will
like,
never get over
like,
the
I'm never
feeling
be
of
okay.
being broken.
They don't, like, all of us have lost, like, our friends and classmates.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, it's normal. It's fine. But it's not, like, fine.
It's not.
It's
no,
not,
like, nothing
fine.
Is one
fine.
Thing. But, like, I'm, like, traumatized.
This is
yeah.
trauma.
Like, we
PTSD.
Went through trauma.
PTSD.
We
PTSD.
Literally PTSD.
Especially for what we
Wait,
went through.
PTSD
saw,
takes 30 days to
get. We literally saw people.
I can't close my eyes. Without looking up and
seeing
the gun.
Like seeing
up.
Alyssa's body.
Mine is seeing Alex and the bullet holes through the wall. I see it happening in slow motion. Over.
We talked for about 2 hours, but it was getting late and we had to wrap things up because after all, it was a school night.
How are you feeling about going back tomorrow?
I'm
I don't
so
think
scared.
I'm excited.
No, I'm happy because I want to see my friends. I
I'm excited
seen
to see my friends,
then.
But I'm so scared to go back.
They're right.
Yeah,
it's a part of the healing process.
I can't go.
At the same time, I don't feel ready.
I'm not ready.
To go back. But there's, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel ready to
so
go
So you
back.
Might as well just get it over with.
Get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off.
I'm scared. Like, I'm like, I'm desperate to see all my friends, but like, I'm scared.
We'll be right back. My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for the New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray.
And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Hey, good morning.
The next morning, I showed up at Brooke Harrison's house at about 6:40 to be with her and her mother as they got ready and went off to school.
Do you want to take this in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so normally we try to leave by 7:20.
Okay.
We've been leaving at 7:30
yeah.
for a 7:40 start. But, you know, we do live close.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, Brooke skids in at the last minute, but we're not going to do that today.
Yeah, yeah.
My first...
That's your normal.
My first period teachers, though, on each day don't care, though. So it's good. It sounds really bad, but, like...
And she and her mom chatted and...
I'm honestly not that hungry. I was just like a piece of toast.
Her mom made bacon and toast, and Brooke had some coffee.
Maybe 5% coffee?
With milk and three scoops of sugar in it. And
probably wear, like, my, like, PIM with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And try to find, like, any burgundy shirts I have or anything.
She wore her burgundy Stoneman Douglas t-shirt, and she put on a burgundy pin to commemorate the shooting.
Oh, Mom, can I have $5? Because you know how I told you Eden was making, like, the necklaces?
Yes.
So this girl, Eden, not the Eden who came here, a different Eden. She's making, like, these really cool necklaces that have, like, a burgundy stone in it and, like, two silver stones inside Douglas.
Okay.
They're, like, $5, and they're so pretty. So she's donating, like, it all to the victims fund.
Oh, nice.
So I wanted to get one.
So at 7:23.
Okay, are we ready to get in the car?
Yeah.
We hop into their SUV together.
Can we sit in the back with you?
No. Sit in the front. Yeah, absolutely.
And we drive through the community.
Oh,
okay.
No!
Okay. Five-second
rule. How do you feel? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm very excited just because I haven't seen just so many people since the incident.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to, like, give, like, hugs to everyone.
Yeah.
And then I'm also kind of nervous because I feel like if I see something that, like, reminds me of, like, Elena, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Or, like, if, like, during lunch where I see, like, where she used to sit, because she used to sit in, like, the same spot.
And after probably about 20 minutes or so of driving, we pull into a circular driveway that leads to one of the doors and leading into the school.
Oh, it's making me sad.
Mom, please don't cry.
I know.
I think she's cried more than me.
Okay, so you're gonna go to the cafeteria, get your schedule.
Yeah.
All right, text me or call me if you need to.
It was really nice talking.
Brooke and her mom really nice hugged and kissed each other.
First day back.
Thank you.
Love you.
And she hops out of the car and heads back into school.
I love you too.
One year after the shooting, my colleague, producer Claire Tennis-Getter, spoke with Brooke and some of the other students.
Was there ever a day when it felt normal ever, like in your whole last school year?
It kind of never feels normal.
Yeah.
But like we have like a new normal, I feel like.
Yeah.
My normal is like...
About how they were navigating the rest of high school.
Yeah.
I just feel like so guilty.
It's like getting up every day.
Like
sometimes.
Like they're supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing wasn't supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brooke and her classmates graduated from Douglas High School last year. They were the final class of students to have attended the school at the time of the shooting. Recently, Claire called Brooke one final time to find out what's happened in her life since.
Hi! Yeah, hi, Brooke. How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
Good. Thank you for making time to chat.
Oh, no problem.
So, Brooke, tell me a little bit about your life now. What's it like?
Well, I am now a sophomore at Emerson College in Boston, Massachusetts. And I couldn't be happier, really. It's the happiest I've been, like, in a really long time. And it was my number one choice of school. And I love it. I love every second of it.
And is any part of that love, like, related to getting away from the dark history that's attached to Parkland?
Oh, it definitely is. I think everyone, like, imagines, like, graduating high school. Like, when you're a teenager, you're like, oh, I, like, can't wait to be independent. But, like, for me, it felt like, oh my God, like I'm finally like free from this place that has like caused me so much like pain and like torment and who has like drastically like affected like my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I knew for a fact that like for college, like I needed to get away and have like my own space and be like in a place where that like couldn't really necessarily like follow me completely, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Has it followed you?
In ways. Like, I had to celebrate my, like, first anniversary, like, without, like, my family or, like, without being in my hometown, like, in college. But mm-hmm. my roommate is also from Douglas, so we both got to be there for each other. And, like, it's been nice to have someone, like, there for me who I know is, like, going to give me that comfort that, like, I need in that moment.
And what's it like at college? I'm just curious. Is being from Parkland, is that part of your identity? Is it something people know about you or is that more private?
It's one of those things where if I decide that you're going to be someone that I get close to, that it's something I have to share. And that's like something that I've kind of struggled with like ever since the shooting happens. Like that realization that with every like close friendship I want to have or like relationship or like partnership I want to have in the future, that is something I have to share with them for them to truly like know me and like understand me.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is that, Brooke? Why do you want people to know?
Well, for just from a mental health standpoint, like mm-hmm. I have just like sometimes really bad PTSD and like I do have like anxiety attacks and sometimes I do go into like miniature like depression episodes like when a school shooting comes up like that will last for like a couple days. And also, like, it is kind of, like, a trigger warning as well. Like, maybe if, like, a shooting just happened, maybe, like, if I tell you that, you think twice before you're just, like, talking about it all the time.
And what's it been like? Of course, there, unfortunately, have been more shootings in the past 4.5 years. What's it been like for you to live through these shootings, like, Uvalde recently?
It just feels like a slap in the face. Like, to be honest, like, I'm always like sad every time because I remember like what it was like to live through that every day. Like I can remember it literally like it was yesterday. And when, especially like, when you see like all like the people who's died, like their families and like especially like when it's kids, like young kids, like at elementary schools, like it just breaks your heart. And it feels like no matter like what we do, like nothing ever really changes. And it is just like the biggest slap in the face. And it is constantly re-triggering, especially when I see the same failures that I see like in my like high school where like cops aren't going in to help in and like they're telling people to, like to stay back and just like not doing their jobs. I just get like very angry and it's completely heartbreaking.
Brooke, do you stay in touch with your classmates from Stoneman Douglas?
To be honest, no. The only time that we really talk to each other is we have this group chat on Snapchat and every like anniversary or even sometimes when there's like a shooting that's like all over the news, we'll like reach out to each other and be like, love you guys, like hope we're all doing okay. Mm-hmm. But constantly in touch, no.
The trial of the shooter is ongoing. What has that been like for you?
It's been very hard. I've watched all of the trial videos from people that have been in my classroom, and that was unbelievably hard to watch because especially like so many of them were saying like things that I have like vivid in my memory as well. Mm. And so like it's very hard to like have someone else like basically tell like your memories back to you, but through like their own lens. Like I had like a full like mental breakdown about it. That like we still have to like deal with this and like especially like felt so bad like everyone in that room like had to like look at the shooter and like make eye contact with him. Like some of them even had to like point him out in the room and like fully like acknowledge that man. And I thought I was gonna have to do it And a wave of like relief went through me, like when I realized I didn't have to. But then what happens like when you're in this kind of connected thing with people is that you realize if you're not doing something that someone else is.
Mm.
Like if I'm not going to that rally, then they are. If I'm not giving this interview, they are. If I'm not going on this trial, they are.
And what does that feel like?
Honestly, it's still like survivor's guilt and like, or like just really just general guilt, because you realize while you get like a second, like to breathe and to kind of be at peace and not put yourself through something extremely like triggering and like traumatic, they do.
So even though all the students who witnessed that day have moved on, it's still with all of them.
Oh, 1,000%. And I think like, sadly, it's going to be something that's with us for like the rest of our lives. And I think as like we get older, we'll just learn how to like process it and deal with it and like how to manage it better. But I think it's something that's with us for forever, because how could it not be? While like the shooting definitely did shape me, I'm like so much more than that like horrible event. I am so much more than this like survivor and a statistic. I like am my own person, like in general. And I think not being constantly surrounded by that has like really reflected that to me, that I am my own person and that what happened to me and like my community is not me.
Thank you, Brooke.
Aw, anytime.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Here's what else you should know today.
Ну, прежде всего о себе. Мне все время, меня все время спрашивают, кто вы такой, Горбачев, демократ, социал-демократ, коммунист, социалист.
Михаил Горбачев, the Soviet reformer who ended the Cold War, died on Tuesday in Moscow. He was 91. In his 6 years in power, Gorbachev tried to modernize the sputtering Soviet economy and open up Soviet society, efforts known as perestroika and glasnost. He sought to end the nuclear standoff with the West through a series of arms control treaties and outreach to Western leaders, including Ronald Reagan.
Come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Gorbachev believed he could reform the Soviet system, but the economic and social changes he unleashed ended up pulling the country apart. In 1991, Kremlin hardliners staged a coup against him. He resigned, and the Soviet Union dissolved into 15 independent countries.
Мы открылись миру. Открылись, отказались от вмешательства в чужие дела, от использования войск за пределами страны. И нам ответили доверием, солидарностью и уважением.
In a televised address, he said the country had earned the world's respect by opening up to it. Today's episode was produced by Claire Tennis-Getter and Sydney Harper. It was edited by Lisa Tobin and Anita Bottejo, and was engineered by Chris Wood. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. That's it for The Daily. I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. See you tomorrow.